Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb, your Monday edition, as we had a nice weekend of sports action. But was it good? Was it bad? Was it dumb? Let's find out. Good of the day.
Well, the good of the day, we got to go all the way back to Friday.
Friday, okay.
Yes, because I've never heard of this kid, but you might have heard of him. Maybe you haven't. John Rhys Plumlee.
John Rhys Plumlee, I've heard of, but is he Mason Plumlee's brother?
No, unfortunately, he is not related to any of the Duke Plumlee brothers. Mason, Mitchell, and Mark?
So he's not of the Plumlee basketball royalty?
He is not Plumlee, right. Plumlee basketball royalty, but he is establishing his own royalty at University of Central Florida.
Okay.
Because on Friday, he played in UCF's baseball game because I think he's their center fielder.
That's right.
And he did all right. He went 2-for-3 with a triple and 2 RBIs.
No, that's not all right. That's really good.
Yeah, en route to UCF winning 12-3. He then left that game in the 7th inning, jumped on a golf cart to attend UCF's spring game, of which he is a quarterback, and he only threw for 236 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But I've seen Jameis Winston played both sports. There's a couple who played both sports. But how many of them had to do it in the same day? How many of those guys who have played dual sports have had to do one and the other in the same
you know,
day?
We're just highlighting John Rhys Plumlee because, you know, first of all, he's a Plumlee.
Why not? Yeah, but he's not of the royalty. So
yeah, I'm going to say he's Plumlee removed.
Right.
Come on. That name's not like Smith.
That's right. If they've you're got Plumlee, there's a chance in the DNA tree you've got to be related somehow.
Somehow.
Yeah.
There's a way. But yeah, no, I thought this was really cool. I mean, the fact that he took a golf cart, I mean, you know, there's video of him following him. There was a video photographer running with him as well to mark the occasion. And he's running down, like, you know, through the stadium. There were little kids who were running after him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really
UCF
cool.
UCF hyped that up.
Oh, yeah.
When the marketing department went, oh, look at this. This is kind of cool. Look at this. He'll do this and this. Let's make it so, like, we'll make a big deal out of it on social media.
And if they didn't, UCF, give Tony and I a call. We'll help you market this type of stuff because that's what we do.
We like that kind of stuff. So congratulations. Is he going to win the starting job? Is he the new starting quarterback?
I don't know.
We'll see.
But the way
spring games are fun. People love spring football games, man. They love them. Here in the South, it's like a holiday. They love going to the stadium and watching teams practice against each other. They think, you know, like, who's going to be the quarterback? They got Joe Milton and Nico Imolave, who is the quarterback of Tennessee. They're both duking it out in Knoxville. People couldn't wait to see what those look like on a Saturday spring game. So good for him. That's pretty awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is, all right, let me say it this way. We are loving the pitch clock, right?
I like the fact that baseball games are faster, so I can see why people don't, but I do, yes.
On Friday, we might have found a flaw in the pitch clock.
Okay, which is?
Cody Bellinger, Cubs outfielder Cody Bellinger, weird to say, returned to Dodger Stadium. When he got to his at-bat, the crowd obviously gave him a huge standing ovation. And he stepped out of the batter's box, tipped his hat to the crowd, stepped back into the batter's box where he earned a pitch clock violation.
Right. Right.
So I think, you know, I don't, is it a strict, hard, stringent rule on that time, or can an umpire recognize the moment and go, okay, yeah, you know, he was a longtime Dodger. He has been here for years and.
Okay. I've got a thought on this.
Yes, I would love to hear it.
Okay. I see, it seems like common sense would say if the crowd is rising to the occasion to give a player an ovation, then you have to at least honor the ovation and the moment and pause. The problem with it is that you're then giving the crowd the authority on how the pitch clock is dictated.
Okay.
So what if the home crowd wanted to give a standing ovation to a home player who just hit a grand slam in his previous at-bat to slow the game down a bit to the advantage of the player? Would the umpire have to evaluate that situation and go, well, they're on their feet again. What can I do? I can't have the pitch clock if they're on their feet. Crowds will get into that moment and right. go, look, we're being able to dictate the game. Every time we want the game to slow down, we just stand on our feet. Now, you people may say, oh, but Cody Bellinger was returning. Where's the line drawn? Like, would you pause for every standing ovation? Or would you have to say, look, just to prevent the slippery slope, let's not do any standing ovation. Now, I do agree that that was the wrong use of the pitch clock violation at that particular moment.
See, but I mean, umpires are fans of the game. They have to be. That's why they're there. Right?
I would not go as far as to say they're like us.
No. I'm not going to say
that
at all.
There's a business that yeah. they have to do that we don't have to.
And aren't they? Do they? Are they union?
The reason,
NFL referees are not union.
The reason I say that, and I really want to differentiate, is that you and I could marvel at a blast to outfield and wonder if it's a home run. An umpire has to watch to see if the guy is on base tagging up correctly.
Right.
He can't be a fan us. Look at that shot. He's got to go, are you on first? You on first? Tag.
I'm saying, Tony, is as far as being a fan of the game, is understanding some important situations.
Like, sure, they give baseballs. Like, they'll give a baseball to a guy. Like, here's your first hit. Here you go, man.
Here's the first hit. You know, if a guy breaks a record, I mean, you know, will that disrupt the flow of the game? You know, if like it's Ricky Henderson stealing second base where he captured the all-time record and he takes the bag out, is that going to disrupt the flow and is that going to cause a pitch clock violation?
Right. So I think there has to be is a conversation, because here's the thing. I can't fault the umpire for not pausing in that moment if Major League Baseball never told him he had the authority to do that.
I can get behind that.
Right? Like, if Major League Baseball never gave the umpires permission to go, you actually can control this. Like, if you notice a certain scenario that the pitch clock should be paused and delayed, you have the authority to do that. Now, maybe they do, and he didn't enact that. But I haven't seen anything in writing that says that this umpire had the ability to pause it for that moment.
That he otherwise, have a certain, allow a certain moment, you know, just.
Right. Otherwise, he has an authority on the field to protect the current rule of the game, because by pausing the pitch clock to allow Cody Bellinger to enjoy a moment, it benefits somebody and it doesn't benefit somebody else. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an authority on the field to make sure that whatever rules in play, he's enacting, even if the secondary moment should cause delay. Now, at that moment, both the Dodgers and the Cubs might have been okay with that moment, but he doesn't know at that particular
And
he's
Cody,
not getting feedback from Dave Roberts and Dave Ross.
And Cody didn't complain about it when he was issued a strike. He wasn't fazed by it. He still took the at-bat. I mean, it was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, but I mean, the only problem is Cody always looks like that.
So I think the Major League Baseball should be telling these umpires in certain situations.
Like maybe give it a 5-second.
There's a level of common sense that we should be in the process of.
Right.
Let's not abuse it for everything. And if you start noticing that home crowds are taking advantage of this, giving standing ovations to every single person that comes to the plate, don't hesitate to go, no, I don't care. I don't care. Play. Like, we're not going to play this game where the crowd is going to start dictating special moments and we're pausing the game and then we're just back to square one again. No. That particular moment, we get it. We get it. But there are other moments that we're not going to just do it just because. We want to slow down the game because it benefits a batter. So, like, if a batter complains, like, man, I'm having trouble adjusting to the pitch clock, and the crowd goes, yeah, don't worry, we'll help you. Every time you come up, we'll give you a standing ovation and they'll pause the game for you. Right. So, yeah, this is really a good discussion. We'll have to do the dumb in the next segment.
Yeah.
I think this is the test case now for good to bring this up, because this is now the test case for Major League Baseball to go, you know what? We never thought about that.
No, I mean, why would you?
About that. So let's we now saw it. We're not comfortable with the way that played out. And so let's make adjustments.
Make a little addendum to it.
Because it was weird. It's weird to – you want to take a moment to honor – like players do it all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a
– well, I mean,
player returns and the fans want to say thank you.
Exactly. And I think that's part of part of the issue. Is, I mean, he just – quick little tip of his hat to the crowd and then – get back to business. And that's, yeah. I mean, he's there to do a job, but.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Someone who had a lot of success with his former club.
We've seen other sports go, in this situation, we gotta make an adjustment. Maybe they'll make an adjustment. All right, we'll continue with the dumb next. So we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. So let's get to the dumb of the day here on your Monday edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Well, I chose this song specifically for the dumb of the day.
Oh, I like that.
This song is by a band called Snow Patrol, and it's called Chocolate.
Chocolate, okay.
And what the dumb of the day is, I don't know if you've remembered this old social experiment where somebody would try to give a dollar away. It's also a sales tactic where you try to give a dollar away, but you can't do it because people are always going to be skeptical. Like, what's the dollar for? Why? You're just trying to give free money away, just a dollar to people.
And
people are hesitant about receiving that dollar. Something similar is happening up in Canada where a Canadian woman has just 1 month. 1 month, Tony, to give away nearly 130,000 vintage chocolate bars before they expire.
Vintage chocolate bars.
Yes.
What makes them vintage? Just the chocolate.
I guess what the brand of it. It's a
it's a high end brand.
Well, it's a chocolate called Run and Butter. I've never heard it. Run and Butter bars. She owns a chocolate shop, and prior to COVID or just around COVID, she had ordered a bunch of cases of it. But due to COVID, there were a lot of delays. So then she got a gigantic shipment all at once.
Uh-oh, but the expiration date is coming.
And the expiration date is coming at the end of June. And the problem was that, people would go to her store and buy boxes or go online and just buy a box of them. And that's what she was counting on. But when she had this huge surplus, they began to realize, oh, she always has them. I don't need to buy a whole box right now. I could just buy one.
Oh.
So she's left with all these chocolate bars. Now she's doing everything she can. She reached out to the Edmonton Oilers to say, hey, can you do you guys want to have a free candy giveaway? I have all these chocolate. Edmonton Oilers said, no, we have our own snack supplier. We can't break that commitment.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. That's too bad.
So
maybe this publicity will get people to maybe sort of help her out with this chocolate.
I hope so. I mean, she's giving it away she's been donating mass amounts of bars to food banks, to shelters across Canada.
Is she looking to make money, or is she like, I just want to get
rid of them? I think at this point now, she's like, I just want to get rid of them because, I don't know if she can ever get her original investment back, or maybe she already has. But it's just the fact that she's just going to end up throwing them away anyways.
Yeah, right, right. So just make sure they get into the people's hands. Like, hey, come into the store, buy one chocolate bar, get 10 free.
Exactly.
I don't know. Something like that.
But it's just funny because there's so many people out there like, oh, no, we don't want chocolate. We don't want chocolate. That's why I brought up the dollar thing. It's like, so many, there are people out there like, oh, no, we're good. We're good. And she's I can't give it away.
If you gave me 20 chocolate bars, I mean, I like chocolate bars, but if I had to eat them in a month, I'd be like,
exactly.
Chocolate bars. If I have to eat them in a month,
I mean, that's the hard part, right? It's like if somebody gives you a bunch of chocolate bars, say they give, it's like, I got 100 chocolate bars. Here you go. You're like, oh, great, and then you're gonna end up throwing them away.
Right, right.
No ways. I mean, you should. I'm not saying there's no way you can go through 100 chocolate bars, but you shouldn't.
How many does she have?
She has about 130,000.
Oh God, forget it. She's never gonna get rid of those. Those are done. Like, even if she said, I could, at the Edmonton Oilers, can I give away? And the Edmonton Oilers went, yeah, okay. Well, they're getting, 20,000 a game? Like, they got the playoffs, but you'd have to give 10 each. or to five each.
It's such a weird problem to have.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You know, I mean, and she's reached out. I mean, you know, and if you go to her Facebook page, you know, she will tell you, like, I donated X amount of bars to this church, you know, show them some of your support. I mean, she's doing, you know, this food bank, show them some of your support. So she's advertising for them on her own, through her own social media. But yeah, I'm thinking she's going to be left over with a lot of chocolate bars that, I don't know, maybe you just have a community party.
So I want to know, I never seem to have this problem when I have candy in my house.
Exactly.
What happens to chocolate when it's expired?
I don't know.
Like, does it turn green? does it turn chalky? Like, what does it do? Like, you know, you got meat and you're like, oh, that's bad. Ugh, it's got an awful smell. Bread gets stale and turns moldy. But what does chocolate do? When you go, here's the thing with my wife. My wife thinks the expiration date is like a ticking time bomb.
I'm the same way.
Where she says, like, this is good today. As soon as the sun comes up tomorrow, this is poison. And I'm always like, yeah, you know, that's a sell-by date, right? Like, they have to sell it. But like, nope, gone.
Like, one of the comments here just kind of describes, it says, when it comes to chocolate, as long as it hasn't bloomed. Now, I'm not a fan of that word when it comes to chocolate.
Yeah, that means, like, I don't want something to grow
says,
out of it.
When the fats separate out and dry, it looks like a lighter colored crust on the chocolate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is still good to eat. I have seen that. I remember buying a Hershey bar once, and one of my kids bit into it, and he's like, what's wrong with this chocolate? I was like, I don't know. I just bought it at the store today, and it was a grayish color.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I've seen those.
And
yeah.
He didn't like it.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't. That's fine. You know, that's not going to hurt my feelings. But I guess maybe that's what they're talking about. Like, that's an expired chocolate. It's still good to eat. It's still safe to eat. Maybe just, I guess, doesn't have the same quality taste. I don't know.
She can't get rid of it. Man, she bought this in 2020, she said, that finally came in?
Yeah, she had ordered them.
Right.
And then there were delays.
Delays. So she's getting the 2020 chocolate.
Right.
She didn't get new chocolate.
Or she ordered it during, you know, in 2021. I mean, I don't know when the exact time frame when she ordered it, but the problem was that there was a lot of shipping delays when she ordered it. And, you know, it was like one of those, like, well, you know, I order X amount of chocolate a month, X amount, you know, from this, like standing orders. And then for whatever reason, this one product all came at once.
It's what's sad is that you don't want her to spend more money shipping this stuff for free, right? Like, you don't want her to go, God, I bought it, then I spent thousands of dollars shipping this stuff for free.
And that's the problem, right? I mean, yeah, I'm assuming she's in the Edmonton area because she reached out to the Edmonton Oilers. But what if, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs said, yeah, we'll take them, just ship them here.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's going to cost her how much?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, she's probably already going to lose money on it. You don't want to throw down any more on top of it.
Well, my sympathies are to her. I think she's going to end up throwing away a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
But you know what I would do? I mean, you know, obviously you've given it away all in your area. Just have a bonfire. Make that town smell great.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Good point.
You know, make sure you're down, you know, the town is downwind and say, hey, guys, we're just going to have one big chocolate blowout.
COVID, man. Now it's affecting the chocolate.
Now it's affecting the chocolate.
Gets crazy. That's crazy. Man, oh, man. I don't know if I've always wondered about these, like, candy stores. Like, they get...
How do they stay? I understand the ones... Yeah. I'm with you. I understand the ones that are in, like, touristy areas.
Right, right.
You know, I get that. There's one that's in a small little town right down the road from us. I don't know what they do. How they're able to stay open? How they're? They gotta have low overhead or something.
When I was in New Jersey, there was a small town, Clinton, New Jersey. It was a really nice little town, and it had a downtown, right? Like, there's a cheese shop, and there's a coffee shop, and there's like an ice cream place, and it was really nice. You'd walk up and down, and you'd see these little stores, and they had a candy store. The candy store was amazing. You'd walk in there, and there would be all the candy that you would normally get in America. Then there was a section of imports. So if you wanted English chocolate,
yep.
Dutch chocolate, whatever, chocolate bars from Europe, they had a section where you could find this stuff that they would bring in. They'd have the Jelly Belly section if you wanted the million different kinds of Jelly Bellies that existed. That was over there. They had saltwater taffy, you know, everything, right?
Right.
And I kept thinking to myself, so we went in there with the kids. Everybody gets some candy. We get to the counter. It's like $11, right? And we got a bunch of candy. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world are you affording this building in New Jersey on people just coming and spending $10?
$10, $11.
Pop? Like, how much candy can you get for $20?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if it's in a touristy area,
right,
that makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, if it's one of those that's like, you know, where it's all the stores right there are like, they're all tourist attractions type of places, you know, like the stores that sell tchotchke type stuff. And it's like, okay, that makes sense to me that you would have a candy store on that street because that's what you do when you're on vacation.
Right.
We're talking about the one that's in your local strip mall.
Yeah.
That you're sitting there and you're like, okay, how are you doing it?
Sugar Express.
Right.
Or something like
that. And I'm not talking about that. There's one that's always in a mall now, like Pop Sugar or It's Sugar. Not talking about them because they have stores in all the malls across the country. Obviously, they're making money. It's that one store that you just sit there like, how are you? There's no reason. There's nobody comes here.
Yeah. Like if you wanted to go in and get some like Willy Wonka dinosaur eggs, like that's cool. Like, oh, look, I remember that candy when I was a kid or like bottle caps.
But it's like it's the one next door to the nail salon. That's the type of store we're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. I think it would be a stressful existence to try to make your overhead selling candy one
selling
bar.
Gummy bears.
Selling gummy bears, exactly. All right, coming up next, Dick Vitale had an online rant this weekend about the state of college basketball and why he's dead wrong. We'll have that for you coming up next. Wake Up Call continues.